You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on September 27, 2023, and is titled Obedience a Must. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
I'm not looking for a move of God. He's already moved. We're looking for a move of the people. And so I know when I've spent several minutes a day doubting myself, I'm probably not the only guy in the room. So I'm just going to be honest about it so we can encourage and inspire and empower. Those are the three things that God asked me to do in whatever it is that's going on. So, do your best not to doubt. And when people around you call you a little weird or a little blunt or maybe stepping on the line a little, it's all right. Stay put. You're fine. Okay? All right, we got some exciting stuff coming. And one of the best things about October the 3rd is we're going to have several varieties of breakfast casseroles. So thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to have a meeting and we're going to get to eat. That's the main thing. So anyhow, it's good to have you all tonight. We're going to get the Murphs up here. We'll sing a little. We're going to get in the Word a little bit. But before I pray, we got a friend of ours that needs prayed for. But I want you to think, too, as we move forward from this point on, and especially those who have been in the Tuesday morning Bible study now for years. This has gone on for years. The scriptures have prophetically pointed us, constructed us, set our minds, equipped us. The scriptures have set us up for such a time as this. It finally makes all of my preaching make sense. Sometimes I think people just think I'm a political radical. But all of a sudden it's kind of making sense why we've been learning what we've learned and stayed put and stayed on course for a purpose. And y'all have been part of it. And thank y'all for sticking around. I promise you one thing. There's some folks that didn't stick around. They will be back. They will be back. Believe me. I know for a fact. When the pressure's on one of these days, he'll be back. So, anyhow, that's all I got. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for Jess Worm. He's had a gate hit him in the head, and they've flown him to Amarillo and working on him. And Ray Stanley had back surgery. Does anybody know how that went? Good. Went good. Okay. And Connie Edwards. Yeah, we've got several in our little group that she's had her hip operated on, her knee, that's what it was, her leg, or yeah. Some walking apparatus has been worked on. Yeah. All I know is when we was over there, she was sitting there like that. So, anyhow, we're praying for her. So, and anybody else, just lift their name up to the Lord while you're praying here. And Lord Jesus, we just come to you tonight, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all your years of direction. We thank you, Lord, that you have equipped us and given us everything necessary for life and godliness and what lies ahead for us. We thank you, Lord, that you called your people to obedience and that, Lord, that lesson is going to be learned now at a higher level. And Lord, I thank you that there are people all over the United States hearing your voice today. That, Lord, not just to come to Mule Shoe, but there's people who hear you and are doing exactly what you've told them to do. Lord, I pray that we'd be that people that would hear you and do exactly what you've told us to do. Tonight, Lord, we lift up Connie and we lift up Ray. We lift up Jess Worm right now, who needs a special touch. that he be healed completely. Whatever damage has been done to his forehead and his skull, that pray that he is completely healed and well. We lift up Annette and her family tonight in their time of loss. Lord, we just pray for your holy presence, that it be realized. We know you're here. You didn't go anywhere. We know you're here, and that your presence be realized. So, Lord, tonight, have your way with us. Prepare our minds. Prepare our minds and our hearts as we welcome people from across our land. And as we speak, Lord, prepare me to speak into what you've had going on now for a long time. Lord, as we renew and regenerate old covenants and contracts, as we come together in one mind, in one accord, let us be about claiming our promise, blessing this land, land of the free and the home of the brave, one nation under God, you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all for the cause of freedom, to worship the one true God, creator of heaven and earth. We praise you, Jesus. Give you glory, Jesus. We lift up your name tonight, Jesus. All power and glory is yours, Jesus. Amen. Amen. A couple things right quick. I was watching a deal the other day, and this guy kept explained to everybody how they were going to get out of here, and they wasn't going to have to suffer anything, and it was going to be all good, and it was all going to be good, and it was going to be, you know, a grandiose thing, and everybody's heard the story. That first song, Murph, I'd like for you to remember that as our theme song as we move forward, because Psalms 106 is not the text for tonight. But it's the foundation that everything's going to happen around and in on October the 3rd and from that day forward. And it begins with, "Oh, give thanks for the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." When we sing to the Lord and we sing songs like what Murph sang tonight, that second song, "Give thanks to the Lord," and where the mountains bow down and the seas will roar. The Lord just reminded me of the first time that I sang that song to him. Y'all ever sing songs to Jesus? The first weekend of March 1995, I sang that song to Jesus because I knew my life was now embarking on a journey that was going to be unknown. Every day was going to be another unknown and another mountain to tackle and another obstacle. That we were going to fight a lot of wars, and a lot of them were going to be within myself. Little did I know that I'd find myself with the sword of the Spirit fighting for the freedom of our nation and the future of our generations 25 years ago on the first weekend in March. Yet here we are. But I know this much. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. If we'll obey God, if we'll obey God, if we'll continue to praise him and not sing like the Love Boat's going to whisk us out of here, but sing to the Lord like you're going to war. That song means a little something. When the mountains bow down and the seas will roar, I want that in real time. I don't want that to be words on a wall. I don't want it to move me to tears or goosebumps or anything. I want to see it happen. If the Bible says it, I want to see it. Is anybody else like that? And it's taken about 25 years to get here, Roy, but I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Those were my exact words the first weekend of March 1997. The very first thing I did when I got back home was charge hell with a water pistol. I called my dad and two more of my friends, and I said, I just want to tell you one thing. Jesus is alive and well. That's all I want you to know. Little did I know that I was going to have to try to live in a way that proved it for the rest of my life. And on a lot of days, I failed miserably. A lot of weeks, I failed miserably. Yet here I still am. You know why? Because God is good, and his mercy endures forever. He'll take a knucklehead like me, and we'll go move some mountains, and we'll make the water roar. And he'll do the same thing with everybody in this building. And I want y'all to believe that, not because I said it, because God said it. Now in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 5, because I want to get into this. This is pretty good stuff tonight. Let this mind be in you. This is in Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, right quick, now I'm going to have to hit these things right quick. So if you need to make some notes, mark your little spot. If you need to go back and listen to this online again. But let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. Not very many people today believe they have the mind of Christ. But there's a lot of people who go through their religious activities on a journey towards heaven that never hear the voice of God, never experience the presence of God, not for real, where you know down in your knower. Look, you're either born again or you're not, and you're the only one that knows. If you ask yourself, am I born again? And your next response is, you're not. You're not. Let's just be clear. There's no reason for anybody to walk out this building tonight or listen from your living room or your pickup or wherever you're at tonight and be another 45 minutes of living and not be born again. The evidence of being born again is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My sheep hear me, they know my voice, and they follow me. To be clothed in Christ and possess the mind of Christ. We can think like Jesus. Believe me, Jesus already knows how to think like us. That's why he wrote all this down so we could do it better. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What he's saying right here is he didn't have a problem with walking around in our clothes, yet being the deity head of God himself. He was God. Jesus Christ walked on this earth as a man. That's a historical fact. I don't care if you're a Muslim or a Hindu or just a Chinese wannabe. You know Jesus walked on this earth. That's a fact. You just got to decide if he's the Son of God or not. The only way you'll ever know is not because I told you, but the Holy Spirit of God will reveal him to you. Has Jesus been revealed to you? Then you know he's real. I got a friend of mine I've mentioned a couple of times that's, boy, really anti-Jesus about a lot of stuff. And I just asked her on the phone one night, we was having one of them long discussions. If I'm about to fall asleep at night, I'll just call her up and talk about Jesus. That'll keep you up all night. And I said, you've been around the whole time. This is a nice thing about doing the before and after in the same crowd. I said, do you believe that God changed my life? She said, I do. I said, gotcha. I thought you didn't believe in God. Has Jesus revealed himself to you? Because he came as a man, but he was equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. He just walked around and did whatever his father said to do. He said what his father said to say. But he took on not only the role of a sacrificial lamb, one of the most intricate moments in time was the night before his crucifixion when three guys out of four, they write about a communion supper where a guy named Judas putzes it up. And then there's the beloved. And he writes about a man who took a loincloth off and got down on his hands and knees and washed the feet of his disciples. God, the highest of all entities, knowing that he would be obedient to his death, yet humbled himself to wash the feet of his servants. It wouldn't surprise me in the least that one day, when a group of people in this United States of America decided to stand arm in arm one time, skip the denominational stuff, skip all the theological stuff, and just in a common cause, stood together one day. A line that went from South Texas to Blair, North Dakota. And we began to wash each other's feet in preparation for the day, Murph. A day that might cost us everything we got. And we begin to sing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." That we'd humble ourselves as an equal to our fellow man who stood beside us in one common cause. That looks like Jesus. He humbled himself. He didn't elevate himself. He didn't make up a big reputation for himself. He became a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men. Get this. God came in the likeness of man. God put on our clothes one time for 33 years. It's the only way for you and I to ever get access into the kingdom of God. This was a one-time plan. And somebody had to be obedient unto death in order to change the land. If this was all about the great escape, why did Jesus rise from the grave and everybody just didn't follow him into heaven? Why would we continue with this generational disaster? Why would we keep doing things that are abominable to God? If this was all about creating humans, and I promise you right now at this very moment, I have never said these words or had this thought till right now. Why in the world at the ascension of Jesus didn't he just take the believers with him? Well, all this whisk out of here and everybody else can just suffer. Come on, that's what everybody wants to happen. What are you waiting on? He came in the likeness of men so he could dwell with us here and we would be able to realize it. Here and now. Right now today. And we could humble ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. Humility does not mean you become a doormat. Humility doesn't make you weak. Humility doesn't make you stupid. Humility simply says that God is God and I'm a man, and without him, I'm going to act like a man. With him, I can have the mind of Christ. You think Jesus thought he was going to overcome the grave? He wrote about it. So if I have the mind of Christ, I must be an overcomer. I'm telling you, these words that God is preparing for his people in this United States of America are words of hope, words of promise, not hope for a great escape. We're not looking for the love boat. I'm looking for a place to display the power of my God. And believe me, opportunity is coming knocking, baby. Opportunity, the prophets of Baal, they're coming. All them herds of people, that 185,000, that are Hezekiah's enemies, Jehoshaphat's guys, you know, two different tribes of ites. We had termites and pestites and all kinds of ites. They come over here and they, what'd God do? They got to singing, and next thing you know, they mucked each other out. How many of y'all ready for some of that action? Murph said it right up there. He said, whatever God's done, he's still doing. The only reason we don't know it is because people want to keep it a secret. We're going to tell people this is not a secret. And we're going to begin to praise the Lord like people are looking for a victory here and now. And he says, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Obedience. Let me ask you something, and I don't want anybody to answer out loud. I'll just answer for you. What is the first obedience of Christianity when you get born again that we would know? Go to church. Got to go to church. I got saved. I got to go to church. Isn't that right? Everybody says you got to go to church. A lot of people tell you got to go to church to get saved. No, I had to get drunk and get in a pickup. I got drunk and got in a pickup. And I got saved. Now, I'm not telling you to go get drunk and get in a pickup. Sheriff's here. Don't do that. I'll tell you, when you get saved, it's when you realize Jesus and you become obedient. That's it. He became obedient. What's the second obedience thing that you do according to the church? Once you've come to church, what's the next thing you got to do if you're a Christian? Tithe. There you go. That's it. You got to show up and you got to tithe. Please, somebody give me chapter and verse on both of those. Quickly. Now, if you're going to join the organization, what's the next thing you do? Got to get baptized. Well, that's getting closer. I mean, there's scripture to back that up. Would that be a leading of your religion or the leading of the Holy Spirit? Because there's a ton of you people in here that got wet and dry when you were little, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost got a hold of you another day, and you're going to get wet and dry again. By the way, for the record, Tuesday morning the baptismal will be up. If you're listening tonight, I'm going to put it up. I think there's some people who are going to want to get wet and dry to go into battle. So we'll have it up. What about obedience to the Holy Spirit? How many of you have heard God and got up and went somewhere? I know the Murphs have gone up and gone to David's tent. That was all by leading of the Lord. A lot of you have done things in your life by the leading of the Lord. You heard the voice of God and you did what he said. This movement is going to be a movement of obedience. Everybody get that mark down. Obedience to God. So if you can't, look, here's what happens. The voice of the sheep, the voice of the shepherd, the sheep hear, okay? So you got a pasture full of sheep. And even in the middle of them sheep, you got some goats running around, okay? We already talked about that. You remember we had them up on the big screen. So in this, you got about a dozen sheep who can hear. They know the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd can come out of his little tent or teepee or pickup or whatever he gets and just kind of go, hey. Sheep get to looking around. A couple of them get their heads come up. The rest of them nunchucks all eating and doing. Nobody's listening. About a dozen or so of them, they get their heads up looking around. They get to looking for the shepherd. And here they'll go. They'll follow the shepherd. Now, these other ones over here, they don't know whether they're scratching or winding. But these 12 have started following the shepherd. So, hey, Fred, we better go with them. If you're not careful, You're going to have sheep following sheep. And the goats will be doing exactly the same thing. But if you're going to be obedient to God, you can't be a sheep that just lives the rest of your life looking at the hind end of another sheep. You can't. There's no view there. You can't. You got to admit, some of my little mental things here will stick.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.